So thankful for what God is doing at Revival Tabernacle. Somebody say amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, and having your Bible standing with me in honor and reverence of the word of the Lord. Ephesians 1 and 19 says, "And what is the exceeding greatness," notice this, "of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power." Notice this, "which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." Notice this, "far above some all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Another rendition says, "I want you to know about the great and mighty power that God has for us followers." Notice this. It's the same power. It's the same wonderful power he used that when he raised Christ from the dead, let him sit at his right hand in heaven. Their Christ rules over all forces, all authorities, all powers and rulers. He rules over all beings in the world and will rule in the future world as well. Notice this. God has put all things under the power of Christ for the good of the church. He has made him the head of everything. The church is Christ's body and is filled with Christ, who completely fills everything. Somebody say, "I am the church. I am filled with his spirit." And I want to talk to you this morning on this thought, the immeasurable greatness of his power. The immeasurable greatness of his power. One more time, would you just begin to lift your voices unto the Lord this morning? Can we do that? Lifting our voices to Jesus. Come on, Revival Tabernacle. Just begin. Tremendous atmosphere of prayer and worship. But let's not be distracted. Let's be focused on the Word of God. Let's have our minds and our hearts open to receive the infallible Word of God. God, let our hearts open. Let our minds be clean and clear. Let our hands, God, be ready to receive, God. Let our spirits be as one, oh God. Jesus' name. Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. The book of Ephesians is it's a beautiful letter in the New Testament. It's what we would understand when we read it. It is a book full of joy and praise and thanksgiving. When the Apostle Paul wrote this, he was in prison. He was in prison under Roman authority, and he's writing this to the church at Ephesus. Which, when he begins to write this, the intention was that it would be circulated around to the neighboring churches, and we know this morning that the letter of the book of Ephesians was written to strengthen and encourage the Christians. When something is, notice this, is immeasurable, it means that it's unlimited. It means that it's incalculable. It's limitless. It's incapable of being measured. The power of God is something that we need to understand, that although we cannot understand the magnitude of the power of God in its totality, but we need to know what the psalm, like the psalmist says in Psalm 145 and 3, that great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. We look at certain things that, and we identify them as being powerful. But the psalmist reminds us that the Lord's greatness is unsearchable. You can't go find the and put the power of God in a box. The power of God cannot be regulated to a box. It cannot be regulated to a mindset or an idea, because the Lord is great and his greatness is unsearchable. I'm talking about the immeasurable, greatness of God's power. When we begin to meditate on the fact that God is all powerful, we are reassuring ourselves that he is in control and we are not. He is in control, so therefore we don't have to be in control. God is the creator of all creation. Nothing happens that is not allowed by him. You think about it this morning. When you make pasta, you boil spaghetti noodles, for example, and you put them in a strainer. I can't remember the name of it. They told me this morning. I couldn't remember the name.
Colander.
A colander. Thank you. And you put that in the colander, and you shake up the colander with the noodles in there, and the water drains out, and the noodles stay there in the colander. It's the same thing with God's greatness and power. Sometimes he has to drain and strain things out of us, shake us up a little bit for us to be reminded again about the power of God, to be reminded again about the greatness of God. Because a lot of times we get a lot of stuff coming in our minds and our hearts and our spirits and in our environment, and it tries to dilute, confuse, or distract us from remembering about the greatness and the power of God. It doesn't matter what is going on in the world. It doesn't matter what's going on in your neighborhood. It really doesn't matter what's going on in your home. That should not mitigate your understanding of the power of God. The scripture says, for nothing is impossible with God. There are some things that are limited with man. There are some ways and things that we do as a society, as a culture, as people that are walking in flesh and blood, that we have limitations. But the power of God is not without limit. The power of God is not limited to us. The power of God is he's a God that created all things. He spoke and the world became. It's his breath in our lungs, and that's the way it is. We can explain a lot of things, but we're not able to explain the power of God. It's unsearchable. It's just so powerful. We've got to remember that we are his children.
Amen.
All the children of God say amen.
Amen.
Jeremiah, thank you, Sister Katie. Jeremiah 32 and 27 says, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Our God is the only true living God.
Amen.
And his name is Jesus. Somebody shout the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
The psalmist tells us in Psalm 96 and 4, it says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, or he is to be reverenced or revered above all gods. There, it gets better. There's no God beside our God.
Amen.
Isaiah 45 and 5 says, I am the Lord. There's none else. There's no God beside me. He says, notice this, that they may know from the rising of the sun from the west that there are none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no one else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, Lord, do all these things. Our God has an uncommon power. He cannot be measured. And I'm preaching this morning about the immeasurable greatness of his power. Think about it this morning. Think about it this morning. The power company has power outages. Think about that. Even if you pay your bill in advance, doesn't guarantee that you're going to have power. There are things that we use today. We use electrical outlets, but those things fail and go out. They get old and they break down. They get disconnected at times. We've got solar power, but who creates the solar? Who creates the power for which the solar panels can be used? Yeah, we've got things that are ran by gasoline. Things that are wind powered, but who creates the wind? We've got batteries. Batteries go out. Batteries don't last forever. All of these things have shelf life, or what we call shortages, or these things require certain degrees of measurements or circumstances to operate. But all these things are not immeasurable. All of the things that we've discussed or we're using today to power things on, which we take for granted. We walk into a room and it's dark. We turn the light switch on, and we don't worry about it until the light switch doesn't work anymore and there's no power. And then we make statements like, did we pay the bill? Let's go check the breaker. And you go look, and the breaker's working, and believe we are aware of power outages here in the state of California, and the windier it gets, and sometimes the warmer it gets during fire season, the power we begin to have rollouts, or we begin to have times when the power companies regulate or shut down the power. It's not like that with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not a kingdom that is out of power or out of control or is only limited to a certain amount of power at a certain amount of time, and you can only use it, and once you use it, it's all used up. But no, Job tells us in Job 5 and 9 that the power of God, or the God that we serve, does great things, and he's unsearchable, and he's marvelous. He does marvelous things without numbers. Think about this. Think about the love of God. The love of humanity in many cases is limited, or it's conditional based, or it's based off of circumstances. It's circumstantial. And we have different ways which we know that we show love, we demonstrate love. We have words of affirmation and quality time and physical touch and acts of service and receiving of gifts. But the love of God is immeasurable. Because of his greatness. Notice what the writer tells us, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints, and the saints say amen. Amen. What is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. That's why it's hard for us here, Pastor, for us to fathom how God can love somebody who we can't get along with. Think about that. How we have personality conflicts with somebody, or somebody makes a decision we don't agree with, and then so we begin to have this attitude towards them that we're, we begin to be cold or mean or hold a grudge against them, and so we'll shun them, or we won't talk to them, we'll give them the stink eye. But God is sitting there and saying, I love you. That's why the scripture says love covers a multitude of sin. That's the immeasurable greatness of the power and the love of God. And so much so, for the Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. And he didn't just come that we would be condemned and that we would die in our sins, but he died on the cross shedding his own blood that we can have life, and life more abundantly, and everlasting life. That is the immeasurable greatness of God, that he did not just stay on a cross, but that when he was buried in a borrowed tomb, by the way, he didn't stay there for all eternity. He's not there today, but on the third day he rose up again, victorious over death, hell, and grave. He did it for love, but he did it because of the immeasurable greatness of his power. And this morning it's time for us, or this afternoon it's time for us as a people of God, to try not to confine God to our ways, or to our thoughts, or to the way we think things ought to be, way God should move. But no, we've got to understand what the scripture says in Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's time for the people of God to remember, you are the people of God. The psalmist tells us, know ye not that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that hath made us, and we are not ourselves. We are his people. And as the people of God, we have a divine purpose. You are not called in to blend in with the world. We are not. There's no such thing in the Bible as a chameleon Christian. But rather, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2 and 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are attached and part of the kingdom of heaven, that the very source of its power is from the power of God. The power, listen to this, the power of God is able to heal people. It is able to deliver people. It brings freedom to folks that are bound by certain things. It brings salvation to folks. The power of God is not exhaustible, but it doesn't expire. It's not limited to a particular season or time or a place. In fact, it's the blood of Jesus that still flows from Calvary some 2,000 years later, and it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley, and the blood still works, and the blood will never lose its power. I'm talking this morning about the immeasurable greatness of God's power. Power is the ability to do or to act. There's in companies or corporations or in business, there's board of directors or there's a CEO and there's managers, and they delegate their power or their authority to those on their teams and or to those that can make decisions for them. It's what we would refer to as delegated authority. It's the possession of control or command over others. And when you see this kind of power, it's the ability to do or to act. Doesn't it frustrate you when you go somewhere and somebody tells you, well, I don't have the power to make that decision? And so you're like, well, can you get me in touch with somebody or in contact with somebody that can answer my question or that can make, has the power or authority to make that decision? And in Psalm 62 and 11, the word of the Lord says that power belongeth to God. And in our day and time, there are people that are looking for power. There are people that they are, well, we would identify or understand they are power hungry, or they like the control of power. There are folks that have great power, but they misuse it or they misappropriate it. There are people that have power, but they don't use it. They are timid with that power. And we understand that when you have power, there is great responsibility with that power. You cannot just do like we've seen over the last 2 years, a misuse of power or a misappropriation of power. But we've got to understand that we are ambassadors of the kingdom here on earth. We have delegated power. We have power this morning because the Lord has given us power. We need to understand that when we hit the light switch and it's connected to a source, that we have a power that should be flowing with us, that we can tap into the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Yes.
We can tap into the power of someone's prayer, and you pray with them and they pray with you, and then we understand what the scripture says, where two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is in the midst of them. We understand today that sometimes in our humanistic, in our mindset, just us as flesh, that we get tired. We get weary. We get frustrated. Sometimes we're emotional beings, and things take place in our lives, but we're connected to the power of God. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that moves through us. We need to have power that is in control. We can't be doing things out of control. We need to do things, the Bible says, decent and in order. But we need to understand that the power of God is not regulated to 105 South Broadway at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings. But the power of God, if you're filled with the Spirit and you're baptized in His name and you're living a holy and acceptable life unto God, it ought to flow through you. The words that you speak, the scripture says in Proverbs 18 and 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can begin to speak life into a circumstance that has fallen apart or is out of control. And by the power of the name of Jesus, things begin to change. Our power is not limited to a place called the church. But our power ought to reside in us. We'll say, Pastor, how can that be? It's because in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Yeah.
And then you shall be witnesses. We are called to be witnesses and not to be people that will hide or run away from the challenges of this world. But the power needs to be activated and it needs to be utilized. Luke 10 and 19, the Lord says, I give unto you power and over all the power of the enemy. The spoken word that we speak, the words that we pray, the songs that we sing, the Bible words that we read and preach and teach and memorize, their power. That's why when you're going through something, you open up the Word of God, you begin to read the scriptures, and the Word of God ministers to you. It's because of the power of the word of God. These aren't just words that were written by men that got up one day and said, I want to write poetry or I want to write songs. No, it's the power of God. Holy men of old that were inspired and anointed by God begin to write. It's prophets that speak. They don't get up and be pathetic, but no, they're prophetic with what they say. And it comes to pass at the appointed time because it's the power of the spoken word. Yes. Colossians 1 and 16 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Notice this, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him, and for him. And he is before all things. And by him, all things consist. When you look at Colossians 2 and 8, it says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And verse 9 or verse 10 says, and you are made complete in him. Listen to Pastor here for a moment. The devil is very good at pretending like he has all the power. He's really good at pretending like he has the final say or the authority. I think it's interesting that many times God will say, you're going to be healed, or you shall live and not die, and the Lord will say, I'm going to bless you. But when we don't take that with authority, but the enemy or life, or you receive a letter or you receive some bad news, and then you fall apart and you say, wow, you know, you can have a great day, and 5 minutes of that day may be filled with frustration, distraction, or bad news, and so it ruins your day when the scripture says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's the immeasurable greatness of God's power that we don't just throw the day away. We don't throw a church service away. We don't throw a prayer meeting away. We don't discount a sermon. We don't discount what God is doing just because of one bad instance, one bad decision, one bad conversation, one bad letter, one bill statement, or the doctor tells you something that really you didn't want to hear or be informed about. But it's got to understand about the immeasurable greatness of God's power, that he has the ability to turn things around. He has the ability to answer prayers. He has the ability to heal and to deliver and to forgive. He has the ability to bless. A God that we serve has the ability to make all things new. He could create things that were not there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If he has to create something new, he's able to create it. He's able to revive some things. He says, the scripture says, will that not revive us again? The God that we serve can revive things. He begins to breathe in the man the breath of life. That's the immeasurable greatness of the power of God. And so I say that this morning because we've got to stop listening and hearing to the voices and the vices of the devil. Yeah. Amen. He's really good at creating a facade.
Yeah.
If he can do anything, he will try to cause division and confusion and discouragement. God is not the author of confusion. The enemy will try to get you divided one against another. That's not the will of God. He wants there to be unity. The devil is the liar. If the devil's talking, he's lying. The Bible says he was a murderer from the beginning and abode in him not truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar. Somebody say, the devil's a liar. He's a snake. The Bible tells us that the devil in Revelation 20 and 2, the dragon, the old serpent, we see him as a serpent in the Old Testament. But when he gets to Revelation, he's grown to be a dragon, which is the devil and Satan. But the Bible says in Matthew 13 and 39, the enemy is the devil. And 1 Peter 5 and 8 tells us, be sober, be vigilant.
Amen.
Because your adversary, the devil, he's not your friend. The devil is not your friend. He is your adversary. And he has some power, but his power is limited. Remember, he had to ask for permission to test Job. And Job pass the test. And for some of you today, you're going through some things. You're facing some things. You're being tested. Some of you are being tested right now during this church service. Things are going through your mind, through your spirit, through your heart, and you're being tested on the decision you're going to make and how you're going to make that decision, what you're going to say, and how you're going to do it. And it's all going through your mind. Can I tell you, there's the immeasurable greatness of the power of God, that God is able to heal some things, deliver some things, fix some things, restore some things today that you thought were lost and gone forever. I'm quitting, I'm giving up, I'm leaving, I'm not putting up with this no more. But if you begin to yield yourself unto God and say, God, I'm here, forgive me, bless me, help me, Lord, I want to do better, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, the immeasurable greatness of the power of God is that He'll love you, He'll give you mercy, He'll take your heaviness away, He'll give you take your tears and give you joy. He'll make all things new. Amen. The devil will tell you that you gossiped, but the Lord will tell you, if you repent, I'll forgive you. Amen. Let me remind somebody here this morning that if the enemy is talking, he's lying. Don't listen to the whispers of the enemy, because he was able to talk some out of heaven. He can talk some into hell. Think about that. Think about that this morning. We all make mistakes. I am the most imperfect person in this church. The biggest problem in this church is me. We should all feel that way, right? We're not perfect, but we serve a perfect God. And the immeasurable greatness of God's power as He lets the people gather together and say, this person is this way, that person is this way. But when we gather into the presence of the Lord, we become the church. We become the church of the living God. We become a people that out in the world may have position, may have authority. You may be the person that signs your name on a check and gives it the authority for someone to go down and cash that check, and it be without your signature, those checks are invalid. But when you don't have that kind of power in the kingdom unless it's delegated or given to you by God, and He has given us that kind of power that we can speak some things in the name of Jesus and they can be healing. We can lay hands on somebody at the grocery store and they can be prayed for right there and then. We don't have to get a timeout and say, well, let me send an email, let me call Sister Victoria or somebody on the ministry team so they can pray. But no, we've got that delegated. We get connected in the power of the name of Jesus, that we can pray, we can talk to Jesus, we can touch the hem of His garment and see things change because of the immeasurable greatness of God's power. The Bible says to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The Bible tells us that we'll cast out devils. That's because of the immeasurable greatness of the power of God. When you look at that scripture in Acts 1:8, and even in our scripture setting, when it talks about power, when you break that word power down, it's talking about the word dunamis. And when you remember Missions Conference, Mission Sunday with Brother and Sister Moreno, Brother Moreno, he broke it down for us really well. And I'm going to paraphrase, but it's the dynamite explosive power. It's the kind of power that the Lord has given us, that His Holy Ghost, His Holy Spirit in us is like a stick of dynamite in basic terms, that it's explosive. It's not a timid power. It's not just a little battery power, a little AAA battery, although thank the Lord for AAA batteries, right? But it's an explosive dynamite power. A little battery can only do certain things, but a stick of dynamite, when it is lit, it can do some major damage. There's some things that if we would get lit in the spirit, God can do some things through us. He can do some things in your family and in this community. We've got to understand that the word of God tells us in Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over over us. So if the devil's been trying to tell you that he's got you, you got to remind yourself and say, you know, I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm filled with his spirit, and I'm going to start praying in the spirit. I'm going to start binding some things in the spirit with prayer. I'm going to start reading my Bible. I may not understand everything I'm reading, but I'm going to read it. And more than that, I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm going to worship God, because a worshiper doesn't need music, doesn't need drums, doesn't need an organ, a tambourine, a choir, a praise team. But a worshiper says, you know what? While I have breath, I'll worship the Lord, because he's great and he's greatly to be praised. Brother Bon, if you bring me some water, please. Thank you. We have the power. Thank you, sir. We have the power to walk all over the enemy, not him to walk all over you. We've got to understand this morning. I'm trying to help somebody today. Is this okay? Is this okay? I'm trying to help somebody today. Remember that you're more powerful than you realize. If you're prayed up and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, there's some folks that they've received the Holy Ghost, but they're not full of the Holy Ghost. I want, and look, this is not a cheap shot, but I am your pastor, right? And I want to lead and guide you and protect you. But there's you notice that some of our most intense services, our most powerful services, is when the services start with a united pre-service prayer. Not 20 minutes of prayer. It'd be awesome. But when there's a collective group of people that they've consecrated themselves for unified in prayer. Can you imagine what would happen if some of you husbands and wives would get in a consecrated effort in prayer? Some of you on your job would begin to pray some people out of your job. Pray some things out of your flesh. Pray some things out of your mind, out of your home. Let me say, God, you know what? I know you're great and greatly to be praised. And I know I've tried to define you and keep you in a box and keep you regulated. But can I tell you, God's about to do some things, not just in this church, but across this region. In the coming weeks, I'm about to share some things with you that he's doing and he's going to do. It's because we've got to understand that God is a lot greater than 105 South Broadway Street. But he's a God of immeasurable greatness. He's a God that we're going to see the blind eye open up. We're going to see deaf ears loose. We're going to see whole churches converted to the baptism of Jesus' name. You say, well, how's that going to be, Pastor? It's because of the immeasurable greatness of the power of God. And he's looking for people that are going to get plugged in and stay plugged in into the Spirit and say, you know what? I don't want to just live in the realm of revival, but I want to live in the realm of a harvest. It's about a harvest that's coming. You got to understand that the kingdom of God, somebody say the kingdom of God, is not in word. But 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, but in power. Somebody say power. You cannot allow yourself to keep getting pushed back by the enemy. But you got to push back in the spirit. And you got to say what the scripture says in 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in me. Excuse me. That is he that is in the world. You got to understand. Though your beginning may be small, your ladder shall be greater. We got to understand. We cannot despise the day of small beginnings. It may have started in an upper room on the book of Acts, but look what has happened and evolved over the last 2,000 years. Look what has happened to the uttermost parts of the earth. And God's not done yet. He said the ladder shall be greater. There's something that's got to get in our spirit and say, you know what? Harvest time is coming. There's more young people that are going to get baptized in Jesus' name. Why? Because the Bible says, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. There's something about a God that is immeasurable that we cannot define him to a box. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, power and love and a sound mind. That means we've got to have an anointed power. We've got to have a demonstrative power. We if you ever go to a vendor show or an exhibit hall, and they're showing you how something works, like Pampered Chef, they may have these gadgets, and they show you, well, this is this slicer, and this is how it works. If I can relate that to the Spirit or the church, for way too long, we have had this power, but we didn't know how to use this power. For way too long, we have been witnesses, Brother Jess, of the transformation power of God, but we struggle with the discipleship making of showing and teaching. The Bible says to go and make disciples, but we struggle with that. We, as I talked about on Wednesday night, that we're really good about telling what to do, but sharing, not understanding why we do things. How many remember? I do it because, right? And we've got to understand when the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think, it's according to the power that worketh in us. An electrical outlet is always there and it's available. But unless we plug something into that electrical outlet, it's not gonna be there working for us. You can have a cell phone. You can have the best cell phone there is, the latest, greatest cell phone. You could have paid a lot more money for it than we should have been, but we pay it. But the cell phone has a limited use unless it's charged and recharged and continues to be charged so that we could use it. It's the same thing with us. There are some things that we can do on our own, right? We could walk, we can read, but that's not what the kingdom's about. The kingdom is a battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? But against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a spiritual battle. There's, I'd always been, but we've become more aware of it over the last 2 years. But the reality of what's taking place. And so we've got to remember that you're not filled with the Spirit. If you're not, you need to get baptized and get filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Ghost. It's free. But once you're filled with the Spirit, we begin to grow and walk with the fruit of the Spirit and begin to see the gifts of the Spirit and begin to see us move in the Spirit and be Spirit-led, be biblical-based, but be Spirit-led and begin to say, you know what? We go to church on Wednesday and bring the kids with you, and we go to church on Sunday, and we bring the family with us. But there's more to living for God than Wednesday and Sunday. It's about discipleship. It's about winning the lost. It's about having revival. It's about seeing God heal people, deliver people, and bless people. That's why the devil fights you throughout the week the way he does. It's because he doesn't want you to do the things that you know you ought to do. He doesn't want you to teach Bible studies. He doesn't want you to pray. That's why there's things that happen on Wednesday and Thursday that don't happen any other time of the week, because the devil wants to distract you. But can I tell you, you've got to push back, and you got to know, you know, according to the power that worketh in me. And the more I push back, the greater I get. The more faith I use, the greater my faith grows. Can I tell you, there's some of you here today that God wants to use you to lay hands. God wants to use you to preach the gospel. God wants to use you to be an intercessor, to be a giver. Let the Spirit of giving come upon you, but you've got to exercise that in the Spirit and say, God, it's not my will, but it's your will. Let it be done. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us? Notice this, who to those that believe, according to the working of his mighty power, far above, I like this part, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named. And he put all things under his feet and gave them, notice this, as head over all things to the church. We could have been born at any time in history. We could have been born in the dark ages, in the 1900s, 1800s, 1600s. But God chose us for this time for a reason. We need some Stephens in the kingdom. We need some Stephens in the kingdom. The Bible says in Acts 6 and 5, Stephen was a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And in Acts 6 and 8, it says, and Stephen, notice again, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. It doesn't say he was full of prestige or education or wealth. He was just full of faith in the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
I wonder if we got full of faith in the Holy Ghost, what God would do through us and for us.
Yeah.
What would happen if we consecrated ourselves like we educate ourselves? What would happen if we prayed more than we played?
Yeah.
What would happen if we forgave more instead of casting judgment? What if we were more giving instead of more takers? What if we really pursued walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit? Like sometimes we know some people are looking for the optics of materialism. What if we did what the psalmist says in Psalm 145 and 11? What if we spake more of the glory of the kingdom and talked of the power of God? Think about that. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. We cannot play church.
No.
Amen.
We can't play with sin.
No.
I want to commend this church over the last 6 months, 5 months, that we have stepped into a new dimension. This church has never been the same since that December foot washing communion service. Never. It hasn't been the same. And I felt there was another shift in the Spirit on that Monday night prayer meeting. Something broke in this region. And we God has given us great power, but he's also given us great responsibility. And we cannot dance to the devil's music and stay full of the Holy Ghost. This, the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's the power of God, the scripture tells us in Romans 1 and 16. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel still works. The plan of salvation still works. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of salvation to them that believe. We've got to understand that it is an end time revival, but there's also an end time harvest. I want this to get in our spirits this morning, that there's an end time revival. Revival is for those that need to be revived, that need to be kept, get alive because you've diminished in your walk with God. But the church was not intended to be a place of perpetual reviving. It was to be a teaching and a training and it'll be a place of discipleship. And we've got to transition in our minds and our spirit to be a place of discipleship and harvest and say, God, revive me again. Yes, Wednesday night, I need to be taught. I need to be revived. At prayer meeting Thursday, we got to be prayed through. And throughout the week, we got to pray through. But God, help me, Lord, to walk in a mindset, Lord, of the power of the Holy Ghost that I could explode at any time. If somebody comes to me with a need, I'm not going to wait to tell everybody about the need. I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus for that need, for that circumstance. That's the kind of power that we have. That's the kind of regulated authority that the Lord has given us today. The immeasurable greatness of his power.